We've been gone. Our family's been gone. Over the last few weeks, we were able to go back. We were blessed enough to go back for Christmas and spend Christmas with our family back in Calgary. We haven't done that in a number of years. And so we were able to do that. We were super excited to go and do that. And minus 35, just so you know, minus 35. My kids, like my kids were born in Calgary, but they're island kids. And really, at the end of the day, they're like, oh, they don't know what minus 35 is all about. They're like, oh, this isn't so bad. I don't need a jacket. I'm just going to the car. I'm like, until the car breaks down. And then what? You will freeze to death. And if one of you freezes to death, that means the rest of us are going to Disneyland because we can afford it now. And so we were able to go, and then obviously we were back for a week, and then we were right back. We were right back to Calgary for a wedding. We were my oldest niece, my sister's oldest. She's the oldest of the nephews and nieces, and we were very excited to be able to go back and spend some time and be part of her celebration as well. We were busy. Like, we were busy. I don't know about you guys, but flying for me stresses me out. I know that this is the Victoria Airport, and, like, every time I get there, like, 5 hours early, security says, like, 0 to 5 minutes, but, like, I still have to be there early. And then I regret it because I get to the other side, and I'm paying, like, $15 for a ham sandwich. And it gets me every time, and I should learn, but I haven't. So it stresses me out. And so we're trying to get ready to go for Christmas, and we're packing our bags, and we flew cheap. So just don't get the wrong idea. Like, I'm not flying all around first class here. It was, hey, you take your little, your individual item, and you shove it under the seat. This is what you're taking. And so we're trying to pack bags for minus 35, but also they have to fit under the plane or under the seat. So how much clothes are you going to wear? I'm not going to say which one of my two boys. You can guess. He's not sitting here right now. Ended up wearing 3 pairs of pants because he didn't know how to pack. So he came out of the bathroom and he had 3 pairs of pants on, and I thought it was great. So you had all of this, and you're trying to figure that out, and you're trying to get to the airport, you're trying to get through security, you're waiting to get picked up, and then it's just a whirlwind of time, and you want to see all your family, but you also want to do the things, and you want to get the pizza at this place, and you want to get, you know, Peter's at this other place, and then all of a sudden now you're back, and like in the blink of an eye, we're back at it again at the airport going, what are we doing? How did this happen? And it was just like in the blink of an eye. And so we were busy. And isn't that the case for a lot of us? Like, we get caught up in busyness. We get caught up in the manyness of life. We find ourselves surrounded by noise, and we find ourselves surrounded by hurry, and we find ourselves surrounded by crowds, and it's just whoosh, coming, and it's coming at us and coming at us. And what happens is that resting and stopping are actually, they become, it's a countercultural thing. Like, if you're not moving, if your schedule's not full, if you're not doing all the things, then you're lazy and you're not on it, and you got to get moving because you're not moving. And so resting and stopping are actually countercultural. So this morning, as we step into our Rooted series, we're going to be looking at the spiritual practice or the discipline of meditation. And so what happens with this practice is that it helps us move away from this life that's caught up in busyness and manyness and rush, and it moves us into a different kind of rhythm. And so at their simplest, when you look at spiritual practices, they're actually about rhythm. And if you're part of our life groups, like if you're not part of our life groups, by all means, I encourage you to, Doug's not here today. Come see me today. If you're not part of our life groups, I encourage you, come see one of us. We'd love to plug you into our life groups. It's exactly what the name is. We're doing life together. And so this last week, we started a new series called Practicing the Way. And it's about spiritual discipline, spiritual practices. And so we were talking about this idea of rhythm and how we don't just practice the spiritual disciplines because they're good for us, although they are. I mean, they are good for us. But we do it because what we are is we're apprentices of Jesus. Like for us as followers of Jesus, we want to adopt his lifestyle. Like any apprentice within the trades, the apprentice comes in and he looks at the master worker. And then he looks at the master worker and he sees, these are the things that the master does in order to do a good work. And the master preps like this, and he shows up on time like this, and he stops like this, and this is how he pays attention to detail. And like when I was a painter, when I was a lacquer sprayer, I was considered a master at my craft, and it took a long time to get there, and a lot of masks with filters that didn't work. And so I got through it, and then I became a master at it. And then when I did, I took on apprentices, I took on helpers, and they had to learn how to plug holes in the woodwork long before they ever even learned how to mix the paint, and long before they ever learned how to actually turn the machine on. And then they actually had to learn how to maintain the machine long before I ever put that spray gun in their hand and let them have a go. And so that's what we are. We're apprentices of Jesus. And we look to Jesus, and we look at his lifestyle, and we want to adopt this. So that means for us, we want to arrange our daily lives around his presence. What we're doing with our spiritual practices is that we're aligning our rhythms with the rhythm of Jesus. And so our main scripture this morning is going to be found in Psalm 19:14. Let me read that for you. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And so meditation, like, what comes to mind when you think of the word meditation? Like, there are some things that come to my mind right away when I say meditation. I have I've had my biases and my ideas of what meditation is all about. So for me, I always go right back to like the 60s and 70s. And I think about these yogis and they were all wearing like these tunics, and they had long hair and beads in their hair, and all the movie stars and rock stars were flocking to them because they wanted to learn their way of life. And there was the flower children. Listen, I know where I am. I know we're on Vancouver Island. I look out at you and I'm like, I know some of you probably walked around with like bands of like flowers around your heads and danced and felt the music. Like I know where we are. Like I look out and I look at Lynn Hahn and I'm like, oh, Lynn Hahn probably saw the music and swayed. I know where we are. I'll tell you this. I don't think that was the case in Alberta. Not as much. Might not have been. But that's kind of where I land, right? Like you go to this idea of, oh, that's about New Age philosophies and New Age thinking. I had thought, you know what I'll do for just like an example or for you to see what I'm talking about. I thought about bringing like a yoga mat and just putting it up here and then just sitting down cross-legged and doing the thing for you. I'll tell you, if I sat down like that, there's no getting up. There's no getting up. Someone would have had to come up there and save me. So we're not going to do that. But that's where a lot of people land, right? People look at it and they go, oh, like this is what it is. It's this new agey, weird thing, and it shouldn't be part of the church, and it shouldn't be part of our spiritual formation because it's weird, and it's not from God, and it's not from the Holy Spirit. And so we land on this idea of, oh, meditation, let's be careful here with what we're doing. Because we assume that it runs parallel. Christian meditation runs parallel or synonymous with Eastern thoughts and ideas and religions. And the truth is, folks, they're actually worlds apart. Eastern meditation is all about emptying your mind. You want to empty yourself out. And Christian meditation is actually, when we land on Christian meditation, it's actually about filling. There's a filling that takes place when you're stepping into that meditation. So Eastern forms of meditation, what they stress is about becoming detached from the world. You want to empty yourself, and you want to lose your personhood. You want to lose your individuality. You want to lose your personal identity. Now, I don't know about you folks, but I believe that we were fearfully and wonderfully made by the creator of the universe. I don't want to forget that. I don't want to forget my identity and my personhood and my individuality, because the creator made me. He knit me in the womb of my mother. What? How arrogant to think that I should be able to forget that. And this is what Eastern meditation is all about. It's about, hey, lose yourself. But Christian meditation actually brings us and moves us beyond the idea of detachment. So in a sense, it starts with detachment, because if you look at the Sabbath, it's about stopping and moving away from the busyness. But what we need to understand about Christian meditation is that it moves us into attachment with God. And that's where we want to be. Remember this. Remember the story that Jesus shares about this man. So he's got all this evil and evil spirits in him, and they get cast out, and the man is left empty. But what happens to that man is he's not filled with good in the emptiness. And so that spirit leaves, and he comes back with seven that are worse than the first. And then they take up that empty space, and that man actually ends up in a worse place than when he started. And so what we want to do is, when we want to detach from the busyness and we want to move into a countercultural rhythm of what the world is telling us, we don't want to just empty ourselves. We want to move into meditation that fills us and attaches us to God. What happens with Christian meditation is that it moves us into a richer wholeness and an understanding of God's rhythm for our daily lives. Because we're not just talking about Sunday morning, right? Like, we're not just talking about Sunday morning here. We're talking about our daily lives. We're talking about Monday morning, Tuesday. We're talking about when we've had a rough week and things haven't gone our way. We're talking about when the car broke down and it wasn't the time for this to happen. It's when you didn't get the hours that you thought you were going to get. It's when that loved one is sick. It's when someone's passed. It's not about Sunday morning. We're looking at a rhythm for our daily lives. That's formation. You're doing it every day. You're growing in it every day. And so what happens with that meditation is that we're forming and we're shaping and we're deepening our relationship with God. Like, we want to be able to give ourselves more deeply to God. We want to be able to give ourselves more deeply into a relationship with Jesus. Richard Foster is an author. He wrote a book that we're kind of using for our resources with our series here. Richard Foster said this in the book, Celebration of Discipline. In meditation, we are growing into a familiar friendship with Jesus. Oh, I don't know about you, but when I read that, I had to stop. And I was like, oh, a familiar friendship with Jesus. Man, that gets me going. I'm like, oh, yeah. It gives me comfort, and it gives me peace, and it gives me ease, because I'm like, oh, my friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Isn't that what we sang? Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. And what this meditation does is that it helps us to move into a place where we have a familiar friendship with Jesus. It helps us to sink into the light and into the life of Jesus. And because we're doing it every day, what happens with that posture, that positioning, it actually becomes comfortable. Because we get used to it, and it becomes part of our rhythm. And we're comfortable in a partnership and in a friendship with Jesus. And so a statement like, hey, he walks with me and he talks with me, isn't just, like, it's not just a feel-good sentiment anymore.
it actually becomes a straightforward description of our daily life. He does walk with me, and he does talk with me. And what happens with this meditation, with these moments, is that we can create an emotional and a spiritual place for Jesus, and then he builds a sanctuary in our hearts. We're creating and making space for emotional and spiritual things to take place in our life. And Jesus steps in and he goes, you've given me this space. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to build an inner sanctuary for you. Revelations chapter 3, verse 2 reads like this. It says, look, I stand at the door and knock. And if you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Did you know that that verse, that piece of scripture was actually originally written to the believers, not to the non-believers? We use that verse quite a bit for non-believers. Hey, you know, if you're seeking, you knock and you'll find him. But this was actually written to the believers originally. We need to remember how much Jesus wants to sit at a table with us and share a meal with us and commune with us. Foster, in his book, also says, what Jesus desires is a perpetual Eucharist feast in the inner part of our heart. What does that mean? It means that Jesus just wants never-ending fellowship with us. That is good news. And what meditation does is that it opens that door so that Jesus can step in and have that never-ending meal with us. Meditation opens up the space for inner fellowship. And then that transforms our inner personality. You can't be sitting at the table with Jesus every day and come away from that unchanged. You can't. It's impossible. You can't sit at that table with Jesus and have him in your inner sanctuary and come away from there and say, well, that was nice. I'll move on with my life. It will transform you. We're talking about a spiritual formation. This is where we're moving as a church. We want to move into spaces where we're growing in our formation, where we're growing in our spirituality, our understanding of our relationship with God and our place in it. We can't sit with Jesus every day and walk away without being changed. It's not going to happen. Jesus is our ever-present teacher. And if he's our ever-present teacher, what he's going to do is he's going to lead us into righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what Romans 14:17 says. And everything that's foreign to him, we will have to let go. In fact, we won't have to let it go. We'll want to let it go. So that's the purpose of meditation. The purpose of meditation is to create space in your inner heart, in your inner sanctuary, for Jesus to step in and then meet with you every day. There's nothing there that talks about detachment. We want to attach ourselves to Jesus, and then he's going to transform us. That's what meditation's about. So if you had questions about what, why, and what, and are we all going to sit around here and light incense and burn candles? Oh, candles are okay. I like candles. I had a candle going already this morning in my house. It was fig. It was beautiful. But we're not moving into these spaces. We're moving into solid teaching, into solid things that will transform us and bring us closer to the heart of God, not just for ourselves, but for the world that we're trying to reach. Because if Jesus is our ever-present teacher and he's transforming and affecting our rhythms, what happens is that will spill out into our neighbors, onto our neighbors, onto our friends, onto our co-workers, onto our acquaintances, onto everything and everyone around us. It has to go somewhere. I used to teach in my heroes class, I used to teach this concept, and it was about anger, but the concept's the same here. You take a can, and I used to take this Coke can, and I'd walk around the classroom, and I would start shaking it as I spoke, and you shake this can, and you shake this can, and you can feel this can getting tighter in your hand. And then what I would do is I would let the kids know, hey, like, if we hang on to anger, what happens is, if I open this thing, it's going to go everywhere, and it's going to make a mess. The kids loved it because they always wanted me to do it. They're like, open the can. I want pop all over me. I was like, oh, grade six kids are dumb. You don't want pop all over you. That's the worst idea ever. But the concept's the same here. The more that Jesus transforms you and fills you and fills you, it needs to go somewhere. And it's going to get everywhere. And sometimes it's going to be messy, but it's going to go everywhere. So that's the why of meditation. So this morning I want to move a little bit into the how of meditation, because we want to do that well. Like, we don't want to just go out there and go, oh, meditation, because you could go south. And then you might show up here with incense. And then I might have to rebuke you. I don't want to do that. Like, I'll do it, but I don't want to. So I had a conversation earlier this week with someone from our life group as we were talking about the idea of Sabbath, because that was the first session of our spiritual practices is Sabbath. And we were talking about the video and the conversation that we were having. And this person said to me, I really enjoyed that, because you could have been a Christian for 2 weeks or you could have been a Christian for 30 plus years. And what this did was help me to understand the value and the importance of finding God's rhythm in my life. And because I can understand that, it will help me to move into the how I'm going to do it. And I thought, yeah, that's super wise. I almost went there. I almost said, I'm surprised I came from you. But now I don't want to look at that person. Don't look, Claudio. Just let me gather my thoughts before I look over there. Let me say this. Okay, I got past it. Phew. I thought I was going to just spill the beans there. Let me say this about meditation. We're not going to learn how to meditate by reading a book. I'll tell you that right now. Imagine this. Imagine trying to learn how to swim by reading a book and then going to the lake. How do you think that's going to go for you? Like, because you're going to read this book and then what? Practice in your living room on the carpet? Well, the book says this. And then you do this, and then you're going to go to the lake, and Judah here, the lifeguard, is going to have to jump in and save you. And I might tell him, don't do it. They read the book and thought they could learn how to swim. They might need to learn a couple lessons in life here. And so we're not going to learn. It's impossible to learn that way. The way we're going to learn how to meditate is by meditating. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to give you one way, just one way, of practicing meditation. And the fancy way of saying this is meditatio scriptorum. What? Is that something? Or I practice that. And I don't even know if I got it right. Every time I said it, I felt like, am I Harry Potter now? Like, what did I just do in my house? What it actually means is meditation on Scripture. Meditation on Scripture, because meditating on Scripture is actually the foundational piece when it comes to meditating in the Christian sense. This is kind of where we want to start. There's a lot of other avenues where we can take it, but we can't get to all these other meditation practices if we don't start with the Word of God. And there's a difference, folks, here. There's a difference between studying the Scriptures and meditating on the Scriptures. There's a difference between those things. Studying is about exegesis. It's about analyzing the material. It's about gathering it. It's about breaking down words. It's about going into word studies. And it's different. I'm not saying pick up your Bible and start studying. That is a good thing, but that is not meditating. What happens when we start meditating on the Word of God is that we begin to internalize it. And it becomes personal. We personalize the passage for our lives. And so this morning I'm going to give you three key aspects to meditating on the Scripture. The first is interruption. The second is intuition. And the third is imagination. So interruption. Interruption's this, it's about stopping. It's that detachment part. It's about stopping. It's about slowing down. It's about allowing God to interrupt our regularly scheduled programs. Because man, we are good at that. I looked at my phone this morning. I was like, whoa, there's a lot of stuff on my calendar. There's a lot of stuff there. And I have to let God interrupt my regularly scheduled program. Again, in our life groups, we're talking about Sabbath. And the very first step of practicing Sabbath is to stop. Like intentionally stepping away from the busyness and creating time and space for stillness. Because what we're trying to do is we're trying to align our life rhythms with the life rhythm of Jesus. And what Jesus did was in his ministry, time and time again, he found moments to step away from everything and then spend time with the Father. He did it time and time again. And if we're his apprentice, then we need to do it. Because what happens when we do this, when we create these moments of stillness, is that we find a life that's filled with moments of peace and ease and calm and rest. So as hard and as counterintuitive as it's going to feel, the first step in this formation, in this practice, is going to be to stop. It's going to be interruption. And it's going to be hard. And you're going to get it wrong a bunch of times. But that's okay. Because you're going to try again. And you're going to try again. Our second one is intuition. And that's about taking up the actual Scriptures in your hands. However you want to do that. Some people feel like it needs to be the Bible in their hand. Some folks are okay with the phone. There's all kinds of apps that you can use, YouVersion Practicing the Way has, like there are apps available for you to be able to pick up the Word and take up that Scripture and start to read it. But don't think that you have to read the entire Bible in one day. Like, don't feel like that's what you have to do. That's not what we're talking about. I have some friends from a church out on the West Shore, West Village guys. a few years ago, they decided that their preaching plan was going to be the book of Matthew. And they were going to go verse by verse. And I don't know how long they actually thought it was going to take, but it took like 2 years. Because they were preaching it verse by verse. And so I don't know if they had in mind that they could get through this very quickly, but it took over. And so we're not saying pick up the Scripture and go, okay, I got through Numbers. Whew. Oh, I got through Deuteronomy. When am I going to get to the New Testament? That's the best part. That's all the good news stuff. This is not what we're talking about. I'm just saying, pick up the scriptures and start reading and give yourself to the scripture. And we use the word intuition here, but really what we mean is we're saying, let the Holy Spirit guide you. That's what we're saying here. We're saying, let the Holy Spirit guide you in this process. And then what you need to do with it is you need to read it and you need to stop. And you need to think on it. And you need to pay attention to the words and the phrases that might feel highlighted to you. And then you stop again. And you breathe and you pray. And then you read it again. And then you stop again. And then you journal and you write or you draw or you paint or however it is that you're going to process what's happening in front of you on those pages. And this is how you move into it. And the whole time you're open to the Holy Spirit saying, this word, this phrase, this is for you. Here's where I want you to lean into today. And then lastly, imagination. Imagination's good. Apply it to the text. We had a rule in our house. We still have the same rule in our house. The rule in our house is if you want to watch a movie, you have to read the book first. That's the rule in our house. Judah and I, over the Christmas break, we started rewatching Lord of the Rings. Lennon did not finish reading Lord of the Rings. And we were on the third movie one day, and he comes into the living room and goes, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're watching the third one. He goes, oh, I'm going to watch it. I'm like, no, you're not. Again, Lennon's 18. He's an adult. And he looked at me and he's like, what? I go, have you read the books? Well, no. What are you doing here? The Xbox is in the back room. But Judah and I are watching Lord of the Rings because we've read the books. And now Ruby is dying because she wants to watch The Hobbit. So we got her a copy of The Hobbit from the library. And it's been sitting there all Christmas break. And now Judah and I, we're ready. We gave her a chance. And she hasn't taken it. She's not watching it with us. That's the rule in our house. But the reason we do it is because your imagination when you're reading something, I know the Lord of the Rings movies were super well done. Like, they were well done. But they don't look like they did. The story doesn't look like it did when I read it. The characters don't sound the same. They don't look the same. There was a personalization when I read it for myself. Me and the boys, we read this book called A Wrinkle in Time. And it was like a fantasy book, and we loved it. It was great, and the movie was coming out. And we got through this book, and we were super excited. Then we went to the theater. I don't know that I've ever been so disappointed in my life. It wasn't the story at all. They changed the story, and they changed the characters. In the middle of it somewhere, this lady's flying on a dragon that's made out of lettuce. And it's never been in the book. It was horrendous. Use all of your senses to read. It's about giving yourself fully to the Word of God. And what happens when you do that is that those stories, they come alive. And you connect on a deeper level with it. And what happens when you're connecting on a deeper level with Scripture is that that gives God space to speak into your heart as well as your head. Remember that Jesus taught in parables. He taught in stories. And it captured people's imaginations. And they could understand what he was saying because he spoke in stories. Alexander White, he wrote this about our imaginations and Scripture. At one time, you are the publican. At another time, you're the prodigal. At another time, you're a Mary Magdalene. At another time, Peter in the porch. Till the whole New Testament is all over biographic of you. What happens is you can see yourself in the grand story of God. So use your imagination. All three of these aspects, what they're going to do is they're going to help you navigate this form of meditation. They're going to just help you and give you some tools as you move along into it and as you practice it. There are other forms of meditation, for sure. There's contemplative prayer. There's what's called centering down, which is a stillness. There's a resting. And resting, I like resting because usually I sleep. When we go to our Youth for Christ, excuse me, when I go to our Youth for Christ retreats, and they give us moments to go and have alone time and rest time, I totally go to sleep. People want to go for walks in nature, and they want to hike, and they want to go to the worship service, and they want to go paint, and beautiful. By all means, if this is you, lean into it. What I do is I sleep. Oh, man. I shouldn't say that because Lindsay's visiting. My boss is visiting today. But I'm meditating is what I'm doing. So there's all kinds of other types of medication. What I didn't want to do this morning was I didn't want to overwhelm you with all that because that could be a series in itself. And that's not what we want to do. So this is a good and solid place to start because that's what we want to do. We don't want to just talk about it. We want to start. So I'm going to give you some tips so that you can begin your spiritual journey. Number one, start small. Again, don't pick up the entire Bible and every other book that's been written about it. Like, don't do that. Start where you are. Like, just start where you are, not where you think you should be, right? Think subtraction, not addition. Like, don't add meditation into your over-busy schedule. That's not what we're doing. The question you need to ask yourself is, what can I cut out? Because formation's about less, not more. You get what you put in. So the more you fully give yourself into this practice, the more life-changing it will become. The J curve. So if you don't know what the J curve is about how we can learn things. And usually when we're trying to learn a new skill, what happens is that we start learning a new skill and we start up here. And then, more times than not, what we do is we actually get worse at it before we get better at it. And so know this. Know that we're going to try this and we're going to do these things and we're going to move into these practices. But don't panic when you get worse at it. Don't panic and don't give up. More importantly, don't stop and say, I'll never do this right. I'll never get this. Just remember the J curve. We are going to have some dip. But as you continue to allow Jesus to sit at your table and fellowship with you and share a meal with you, the more you do it, the more comfortable you'll become in that position, and that will start going up. So remember that. We will get worse before we get better, but we will be comfortable in a position with Jesus at our table. And lastly, there's no formation without repetition. What spiritual formation is about, it's slow and it's deep and it's cumulative work. It doesn't happen from one day to the next. It takes years, not weeks. So give yourself a break if you're not getting it. At the end of it all, we have to remember this. What we're trying to do with all of this is we want to give ourselves more deeply to Jesus. Like, we want our spirits to be marked by him. We want to make space so that Jesus can create that inner sanctuary, that friendship that speaks to community. I read this about spiritual practices as I was preparing for this sermon. We want to become more aware of what God is doing around us. We want to be sincerely grateful. We want to be emotionally healthy. And we want to be delighted by the goodness of God in our lives. And so these practices aren't about ticking off boxes that are going to make us better Christians. That's not what we're doing here. It's about aligning our life rhythm to the rhythm of the Creator so that we can experience not just life, but life to the fullest. So I'm going to close with this prayer this morning. And it's from Psalm 19:14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.